Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and yet again, welcome to my podcast, Show Me the Science. Now, this week, I've come across a very interesting paper, as ever. My topics are up to date. It's in Nature, and any regular listeners will know Nature is the big journal. If you get a paper into Nature, you made it. And Nature has the highest standards and publishes all the breakthroughs. And this one, it may seem somewhat trivial, but the question that was being addressed by the scientists was, can stress turn your hair grey? Now, this notion has been around anecdotally for a long time. And people often say, oh, you got a terrible fright. And he woke up the next morning and he'd gone grey. And it was always seen as this can't be true. It's ridiculous. But there was evidence for this, anecdotal evidence. The paper begins actually with a discussion of a 1902 report in the British Medical Journal, where a young woman, a 22-year-old woman, witnessed an awful tragedy. She saw someone being murdered horribly. She went grey. And they wrote this up as a kind of an article to say, look, that stressful response resulted in that woman's hair going grey. And then that's one aspect as a biological process. But more, but I suppose, interestingly for many of us, is can you stop going grey? Now, as I sit here, Ed is sitting opposite me. He's as white as a, I don't know what, but he'd love some way to stop himself going grey. Massive market. I mean, all these dyes and all the rest of it. So, and of course, it ties into self-esteem, and there can be a slightly serious side to it, that your self-esteem can be helped if you're not going grey. So that's the kind of more medical end of it. But let's start with the overall discussion. Can stress make your hair go grey? Now, in this paper, what they did was they did experiments, and it must be said, as usual, we tried to minimise this, but it was on animals, on rats, and they subjected the rats to a bit of stress. Now, as ever, there were three types of stress to make it scientifically robust. Restraint stress: if you hold a rat, it doesn't like it and it gets a bit stressed by restraint. Chronic unpredictable stress, which means you give it a fright when it wasn't expecting it. And the third type of stress is called mild discomfort. Now, for that one, they injected them with a low dose of pepper extract. Can you believe it? It's called capsaicin. And they know this kind's a bit of a stress response. And the rats, these weren't major stressors, but still the rats were stressed by all three methods. And guess what? Over the course of a few days, the rats began to display grey hair. It seems unlikely, but it's true. And they eventually realised the best of the three was the capsaicin injection. And that would cause, within 5 days, the rat's hair began to go grey. And that was their model system to look at this stress-induced greying. Now, why do you have a colour in your hair anyway? Cell types called melanocytes are in your skin, and they make a pigment called melanin, and the level of the melanin determines whether your hair will be black or brown or whatever it might be. The less melanin you have, the more blonde you're going to be. The red hair is very interesting. A special variant of melanin is made there, which makes the hair go slightly reddish. And these melanocytes are the key cell types that they studied. And even more interestingly, there are two types of melanocyte: the one that makes the pigment, and then the stem cells that come into the skin and turn into melanocytes, and they keep replenishing the melanocyte levels. Now, what they noticed was the stress in the rats especially affected the stem cells. Didn't really affect the main melanocyte, but the replenishment of the melanocytes was being compromised by the stress. Now, again, that's another great example of sort of science in action. They looked at these cell types. They observed one particular type of melanocyte was being affected, not the other, these stem cells, and that was quite nice in terms of getting to the basis of why the rat hair was going grey. The next thing then they looked at was, why would these stem cell melanocytes be sort of being compromised in a way? And guess what? It was all about a neurotransmitter. Now, as everybody listening knows by now, I hope, your brain is all these neurons firing. They connect to each other through these things called neurotransmitters. There's dopamine, there's adrenaline, there's acetylcholine. All these sorts of neurotransmitters are made. And of course, they wondered, would the stress affect neurons in the skin to release a neurotransmitter that might then put these stem cells under pressure? And lo and behold, they found it. It's noradrenaline. Now, noradrenaline is another neurotransmitter. It's made in the brain. Many neurons make it. And they found that when the rats were getting stressed, from their brains was picking up on the stress signal, of course, connecting to the neurons in the skin. And those neurons are pumping out noradrenaline, and it's killing off the stem cells. And then the hair over time begins to go grey. Now, to me, as I say, it's a great example of a scientific question using really good scientific methods to get to the bottom of this. And the lead researcher, a guy by the name of Ya-Ching Su, he's in Harvard, he said, yep, I think we found the basis for stress causing a greying of the hair. Now, of course, what would that mean? Would you want to block this pathway, maybe? We all live stressful lives, I guess, and one reason we're all going a bit grey might be because of stress. You have to be careful, of course, because noradrenaline has normal functions in the brain, but still, there might be a way to slow down this process, I guess. If someone has a stressful event, maybe you would then consider this to stop your hair going grey as one output from this study. And then, of course, also beyond that, then in the paper, they discuss other causes of greying, and they wonder, is it tied into noradrenaline as well? It might be. The other cause of why you go grey can be because of an overactive immune response, and your immune system can begin to attack your own melanocytes. And there's some evidence for this. Certain types of greying is because your own immune system begins to attack melanocytes. A second one is certain drugs will damage the melanocytes, and in particular chemo. Now, we all know chemotherapy can cause baldness, but it can also damage melanocytes. And then when you come off the chemo, you're grey. When the hair grows back, it can be grey. Now, again, that might be tied into some of these pathways as well. So wouldn't it be wonderful if that side effect of chemotherapy in terms of going grey could be stopped with medical approaches that might target some of these pathways? So again, it goes beyond the notion of stress causing you to go grey into other aspects of what causes greying in us humans. Now, of course, as far as I'm concerned, I've gone a bit grey, and I'm quite happy with that. So hopefully, never worry if you're going grey. It's part of being a human being, and allegedly you look kind of wiser if you go grey, and maybe it's something not to be frightened of. But certainly some of these more interesting aspects to do with stress and various drugs are certainly where this research was headed. Now, the other part of this then that I think is worth talking about is going bald. And again, many people are horrified by the thought of going bald. I'm lucky enough not to be too bald so far. I've lost a bit of hair as I've got older. But some men go bald very young. It can affect their self-esteem. And of course, in women especially, it can be rather worrying. And there are certain types of baldness that are specific to women. And again, it's tied to the same area as the greying, I guess. It's about the skin and the hair follicles, cells in the hair follicles that make the hair, and some of those die off, and that's the reason for baldness. So, you know, the whole business of hair then is it goes beyond whether you're grey or not, and there's been breakthroughs in the baldness area. Now, what's interesting is, I saw this, what struck me to talk about this one is Donald Trump famously has a very interesting hairstyle. They reckon he is bald under that, and he's paid someone to do a hair transplant that weaves in hair, and he's on record as saying never let yourself go bald. And it turns out, here's a statistic with the presidential elections kind of looming, sort of, only 5 US presidents have been bald. 85% of presidents are not bald. So therefore, being bald seems to be a negative when it comes to becoming president. And maybe Donald Trump has realised this, and that's why he wants to walk around with that wonderful rug on his head. And then the other thing to say is the hair growth industry is massive. It's even bigger than the dye industry. $3.6 billion a year are spent on hair restorers, on drugs that might stop baldness. And of course, a lot of research is happening to prevent baldness. Only 2 work. There's loads of snake oil in this, by the way. There's lots of stuff out there that says it will stop you going bald. Only 2 are proven to work, Rogaine and Propecia. Both of those were discovered by accident, actually. Rogaine was first of all developed as a treatment for blood pressure, and they noticed it was able to encourage hair growth. And what's happening when you lose your hair is, one big pathway here is testosterone. Now, obviously, it's males are more likely to go bald than females, and it was linked to testosterone way back, actually, in the 1940s. It was realised that, this is a strange one, but men who were castrated because they had might have had cancer of the testicles, they didn't go bald. And they wonder, what are the testicles making? They make testosterone. And then scientists could show testosterone, if you inject it into, say, into a rat, the rat will start to go bald. So it was tied into testosterone levels. It was also shown that it's a breakdown product of testosterone called DHT. What does that do? That damages the hair follicles. And the hair follicles are the cells in the hair follicles that are making the hair. They're getting damaged as you age, and then you begin to go bald. And those drugs, Rogaine and Propecia, they target testosterone, it turns out. The Propecia one, that protects the cells in the follicle from the testosterone. And Rogaine stops it being made there. So in other words, there's a rationale for why those two drugs work. They target the testosterone process and protect the hair follicles from loss and therefore slow down hair loss. Now, they don't prevent it. They just slow it down. So they're the two drugs out there at the moment that can be used to treat baldness. And another one that's really interesting is, especially in young women, there's a type of baldness called alopecia areata. It's an autoimmune condition where your immune system now attacks the hair follicles. And a drug called Xeljanz was discovered for rheumatoid arthritis. It works to stop autoimmune disease there. Guess what? That's stopping alopecia areata in young women. It's a real breakthrough because that's a devastating thing that can happen to young women. And here's an immunosuppressant that can stop that specific type of baldness by targeting the immune system. As it tries to attack your own hair follicles, this drug is able to stop that and slow down alopecia areata, which is a great breakthrough, really. And there's been two or three of these drugs, actually. They're called JAK inhibitors. JAK is the part of the immune system that they're hitting, and they're seen as a big breakthrough for that particular type of baldness. Now, the last thing to say on the baldness part is the future of this will be stem cells again. And getting back to my graying story, the hair follicle is constantly being replenished with more fresh cells. Their stem cells turn into these specialized cells to make the hair. And of course, if we can boost that, we will stop baldness. And there are several trials happening at the moment using stem cell therapy to keep the hair follicles going, to keep producing the hair. So one of the things I read about this is that there's never been more optimism, actually, about treating baldness and stopping baldness happening in men and women. And then secondly, as I mentioned in the first part, stopping people going grey. So maybe one day soon, baldness and going grey will be a thing of the past. Would we like that time to come? I don't really mind going grey, but for some people it's a very important thing. So you never know. There may well be new ways to stop people going grey and stop people going bald. Science never sleeps, you know. It keeps trying to make these breakthroughs. There you have it. The science of going grey and baldness. And thanks, as ever, for listening. And my podcast is a News Talk production and is available for download every Thursday.